Welcome to the deep dive. We're your shortcut to being genuinely well-informed, really cutting through all that noise to get to the insights that actually matter.
Exactly.
Today, we're plunging headfirst into a topic that's evolving at, well, warp speed, the current state of artificial intelligence.
It really is moving fast.
Seriously, it feels like every other day there's some new breakthrough. So to help us navigate this, we've taken a deep dive into a really comprehensive and incredibly timely presentation. It's called Current State of AI, What's Real Now, What Matters Next.
And it's fresh, updated just this past August 18th, 2025.
Right. So it's not just theory. It's like a living snapshot of where we stand today. So if you're trying to get your head around the AI landscape, you know, what's genuinely impactful and what's maybe coming next, you're definitely in the right place.
And our mission for you today really is to go beyond just the daily headlines. Because the sheer volume of AI news, it can be, frankly, overwhelming. So we're focused on distilling the signal from the noise. We want to arm you with a clear understanding of, like, the core advancements, their real-world implications, and maybe most importantly, how you can intelligently and practically engage with these tools right now.
Practical engagement, yeah.
Because honestly, with AI's accelerating influence across, well, every industry, just passively observing isn't really an option anymore, is it?
No, definitely not.
This deep dive is about moving you towards intelligent action.
Okay, so let's jump right into that lightning pace of change. It feels like just the last month or so has seen a real flurry of activity. Looking at our sources, what were the maybe jaw-dropping headlines that genuinely shifted the game, even for you, following this daily?
Yeah, it is genuinely hard to keep up. But a few things definitely stood out recently. You saw OpenAI launch GPT-5. That's a significant leap.
The next big one.
Exactly. Then Anthropic's Claude reaching a massive 1 million token context window. That's a game changer for how much memory an AI can hold in one go.
A million tokens. Wow.
Yeah. And Google dropped Genie 3, expanding their multimodal stuff, and Perplexity launched its Comet browser, which shows how fast search is changing too.
Right.
These aren't just, you know, small updates. They feel like foundational shifts. Mm. And the pace, well, we've never really seen anything like it before.
That list is kind of mind-boggling. You mentioned the speed. Our research actually highlighted a fascinating data point about the doubling time for AI performance on complex tasks.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about that? What does it really mean?
Absolutely. And this is where it gets really interesting. We're seeing data suggesting that this doubling time for AI model performance on complex tasks like those measured by SWE Bench Verified.
Okay, what's that exactly?
SWE Bench Verified, it's basically a benchmark for how well AI can fix real software engineering problems, like bugs found in actual GitHub projects.
Got it. Real world stuff.
Exactly. And the doubling time for performance on that benchmark, it's now closer to 70 days.
70?
70 days. Think about that. The capability essentially doubles every couple of months.
That's insane.
To put it in perspective, tasks that might take a human software engineer, say, 2 hours back in 2022.
Yeah.
Newer models like GPT-4o, Claude 3 Opus, or this new GPT-5 can potentially knock those out in maybe 15 to 30 minutes.
Wow. That changes things.
It fundamentally shifts how we think about problem solving.
Right.
It's not just speed. It's accessibility to really powerful tools. And what's fascinating here is that this rapid advancement, it's mirrored by equally swift adoption.
People are actually using it.
Yeah. The percentage of enterprises actively piloting AI agents, it nearly doubled. Huh. Went from about 37% in Q4 of 2024 to 65% in Q1 of 2025.
Just in one quarter.
Just one quarter. And it's not just tech companies anymore, it's everyone.
So what does this exponential curve, this rapid adoption, what does it mean for you listening right now? For your work? Because these aren't just abstract numbers.
No, they have direct strategic implications. And this is maybe the most critical insight.
Yeah.
It's not just about doing tasks faster. It's fundamentally reshaping what valuable human work looks like.
Okay, how so?
The strategic edge shifts. It's less about what you can do and more about how intelligently you can leverage AI and the unique complex problems you can solve with it.
Right. Using the tools effectively.
Exactly. So first, there's efficiency. AI is here to automate routine tasks, even some complex ones, freeing up your, you know, mental energy for strategy, creativity, things only humans can do well.
Makes sense.
Second, opportunity. Your clients, your colleagues, they're increasingly going to expect AI integration. In everything.
It becomes the baseline.
Pretty much.
So
you need to lead or at least keep pace, not just react. And third, it's about your position. AI is quickly becoming new business infrastructure. like the internet, like cloud computing.
You're not optional anymore.
Not optional. It's becoming a core competency. The takeaway is clear. Clients are thinking about AI more, and you absolutely need to be fluent in this conversation. You need to talk about it intelligently.
That really drives home the point. This isn't just a trend, it's a foundational shift. You know, sometimes to appreciate how fast you're going, you have to glance back. So to understand where we're headed, maybe let's quickly look at the timeline. How did we get here? What were those key shifts?
That's a great way to put it. Because AI isn't new, but the last few years have been revolutionary. If we rewind to 2017, that's really when Transformers kicked off this whole new era of large language models.
Transformers, okay.
They brought in concepts like attention, letting models focus on the important parts of the input, kind of like we do in conversation.
Right, instinctively.
And parallelism.
Yeah.
Which drastically sped up training these huge models.
Yeah.
Then 2018, BERT introduced pre-training and fine-tuning, which became a really powerful way to adapt these models.
Building blocks.
Exactly. By 2020, we saw GPT-3, which really showed emergent intelligence, plus the rise of diffusion models for image generation. Those amazing AI images started appearing.
Yes. That's when images got really good.
But the moment it truly hit the mainstream, the sort of big bang for public awareness, was November 2022.
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. OpenAI released it to the public, and that just changed everything in terms of accessibility and general understanding.
And since that moment, it just feels like the accelerator pedal has been slammed to the floor. What's the timeline look like just in the past, say, 2 years?
It's been an absolute blur,
yeah.
Honestly. 2023 was huge. GPT-4 arrived, multimodal, stronger performance. We saw initial tool use, function calling.
Letting the AI do things?
Right. And open weights models like Alma started getting serious traction, offering alternatives. Then 2024, Google's Gemini 1.5 hit with that groundbreaking 1 million token context window.
The big memory again.
Followed by Claude 3.5, which lots of people started calling a code wizard because it was so good at programming.
Right, I remember that buzz.
And then we get to 2025. It's already been called the year of the agent. Widespread adoption of the Model Context Protocol, MCP.
MCP, okay. Like a standard.
Kind of like a standard way for models and tools to interact. And the releases, I mean, just rapid fire. OpenAI's O1 reasoning model, late 2024. DeepSeek R1 from China in January 25. Open source, amazing price performance.
It's really shaken things up.
Totally. Yeah. And since then, Claude 3.7, Gemini 2.5, Claude 4, and now GPT-5 in August. It's almost hard to keep track.
It really is.
I remember just maybe a year ago, struggling with some coding problem for hours. Now I see these models potentially solving similar things in minutes.
It's
timeline.
Yeah.
Shows that exponential surge, not just linear growth.
That personal reflection really drives home how much has changed so fast. Okay, so we know where we are, roughly how we got here at this speed. Let's dig into why this current approach is so powerful. Why is it so different from, say, older AI? What's the key distinction?
I think the single most important distinction is that these models generalize and understand context. They follow instructions without needing explicit code for every single scenario.
Unlike that old thermostat example, I have temperature is X, pH, A, G, D, do Y.
Exactly. That's brittle. It only does exactly what it's told. These new AIs, they learn patterns, concepts. They can handle multimodal inputs, text, images, audio, video, code, and see them as connected info.
All sorts of data types.
And crucially, they can now act within systems through agents and tools. Mm-hmm. They're not just generating text. Mm-hmm. They're becoming active participants.
That ability to generalize and act, it feels revolutionary. But it also raises the big question, how do they actually work under the hood? Because for a lot of people, it still feels a bit like magic.
It definitely can feel that way. But the core mechanics, while super complex in scale, are built on, surprisingly maybe, simple principles. Think of it like this.
Okay.
They're built on unimaginable amounts of training data, just vast oceans of it.
Right. The internet, basically.
Pretty much. And more.
Yeah.
This creates a huge neural network, billions, sometimes trillions of connections. These networks have weights and biases. You can think of them as millions of tiny dials. Dials that affect their goals, their kind of personality, their output. Developers also set a system prompt, like a guiding instruction for its overall behavior.
Setting the stage.
Exactly. Then there's the context window. That's like their working memory. It holds the current chat, any files you gave it.
The million tokens we talked about earlier.
That's part of it, yeah. Mm. Ultimately, their fundamental job is just to predict the next logical token.
Token meaning a word or part of a word.
Right. A word or sometimes just a piece of a word. It's like a hyper-sophisticated autocomplete, really.
Autocomplete on steroids. Got it.
And when it comes to using AI, there are basically three main modes emerging. First, the most familiar, chat assistance, what most people use day to day for brainstorming, drafting emails, asking questions.
Standard ChatGPT style interaction.
Yep. Second, APIs and tools, often using that model context protocol, MCP, we mentioned. This is where AI connects to other software. It enables repeatable, controllable workflows, like AI integrated into your code editor. Cursor is a good example. Or maybe an AI logging data directly into a Google Sheet via an API.
Okay, connecting systems.
Right. And the third mode, maybe the most advanced right now, is agents in A2A, agent-to-agent communication.
Agents.
Yeah, where multiple AI agents work together across different platforms. Maybe one acts as a researcher, another as a writer, a third as a fact checker. They collaborate on a bigger goal.
Wow, okay. That's
It's
complex.
getting there.
That's a great breakdown, how they work, how we interact. But it also brings up that common worry, hallucinations. Why do LLMs sometimes just make stuff up, confidently state things that aren't true? But if it's predicting, not knowing, how do we handle that?
That is absolutely crucial for building trust, and it ties directly back to that predictive nature. They don't know facts like we do. They predict the next most probable word based on patterns and all that training data.
Okay.
So, for example, if you ask which planet is the red planet, the AI predicts Mars with very low perplexity.
Perplexity, meaning uncertainty.
Exactly. Low perplexity means high confidence, basically. Mars showed up constantly with red planet in its training. But if you ask about, I don't know, Jupiter being red, the perplexity would be high. It's less sure.
But it might still answer.
It might still generate an answer because
Yeah.
it's often designed to be helpful to fill the gap. Hallucinations often happen when there's not enough grounding.
Grounding.
Yeah, usually through something called RAG, retrieval augmented generation.
Yeah.
That's where you give the AI specific verifiable data to reference for its answer.
Feeding it the facts first.
Right. Without that grounding, or sometimes, honestly, just because of an impetus to be polite.
Delight.
Yeah, it might generate plausible but false stuff. Essentially trying to give you an answer, maybe what it thinks you want to hear, even if it has to invent it. So you mitigate by providing context, verifying its outputs, especially for critical tasks.
Understanding those quirks, like hallucinations, is key then. Okay, so knowing its power and its limitations, how can you, the listener, practically engage with AI today confidently? What should people be looking at?
A great starting point is understanding the difference between open versus closed models. It's a key distinction.
Okay.
On one side, you have the closed frontier models. These are from the big players.
Yeah.
OpenAI with ChatGPT, Google with Gemini, Anthropic with Claude.
The household names.
Pretty much. They often offer the absolute best performance, get the most funding, usually have integrated tools, private APIs,
Yeah.
but they are proprietary, black boxes to some extent.
Right. You don't see inside.
Exactly. On the other side, you have open weights models. Think Llama from Meta, Phi-4 from Microsoft, Qwen from Alibaba, DeepSeek, Mistral. There are quite a few now.
And the advantage
The
there.
big advantage is they're often downloadable. You can customize them, train them further yourself, and they're generally much, much cheaper to run if you have the technical know-how.
More control, potentially lower costs.
Right. There are maybe only a handful of truly cutting-edge core models driving things forward, so it's really worth trying out the main ones, both closed and open, if possible, to see what clicks for your needs.
So once you've maybe picked a model or two to experiment with, how do you actually, get in reps? How do you develop your skills beyond just typing basic prompts?
Excellent question.
Yep.
To really build that AI fluency, we have some concrete tips for getting in reps. First, use a model for planning. They are fantastic brainstorming partners, helping structure complex thoughts, outlining projects.
Like a thinking buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Second, really engage them. Use voice mode. Have an actual conversation. You'd be surprised how different the interaction feels, how much more fluid it can be.
Talking instead of typing.
Yeah. Third, try using the same prompts with different models and really
Yeah.
notice the differences in their outputs, their style, their strengths. This trains your critical eye.
Compare and contrast.
Right. Now, for specific recommendations, our source material suggests, for instance, Claude or Gemini seem really strong for coding tasks right now. Gemini or ChatGPT are often highlighted for deep research and summarization. GPT-5 apparently has some auto-selection features for modes, but you can also pick manually. Those reasoning models, like o1 or DeepSeek R1, are good for planning, brainstorming complex stuff. And something like Notebook LM is excellent for summarizing info and making structured notes.
And data analysis.
Honestly, most of the top ones are pretty good at data analysis these days. The key is just to experiment. Try them out on your specific tasks.
The message seems clear then. It's not about being replaced. It's about being amplified. You've really got to get comfortable here. Your clients, your employers, they're going to expect it. And fundamentally, these tools boost efficiency. You really can't afford to sit this one out.
Absolutely. And just a final but really, really important warning about privacy and accounts. This is critical.
Okay, what's the warning?
When you're working with any client data or any sensitive information at all, you must always use paid or enterprise accounts. Always.
Not the free versions.
Definitely not. Think of the free accounts as a public sandbox, strictly for generic data, non-sensitive experiments. If you're ever in doubt, just stick to the enterprise accounts. Better safe than sorry.
Good advice. Security first.
Absolutely. Now, what's truly fascinating, and maybe a little mind-bending, is just how broadly these tools are already being woven into daily workflows.
Yeah.
It really feels like the year of the agent sometimes.
You mentioned agents earlier.
Yeah. I mean, we see it in coding, for example, using extensions like Rue with the Gemini API for real-time help. We see vibe coding UX teams using tools like Lovable and Replit to rapidly ideate designs together with AI.
Vibe coding, interesting term.
It is. AI is crucial for research now, especially in discovery projects. Synthesizing huge amounts of info quickly, it's invaluable for writing and editing SOWs, blog posts, reports, you name it.
Everyday tasks.
Everyday tasks. It's a powerful planning partner, helping brainstorm strategy, training plans. People are building custom projects, bespoke AI research assistants, specialized data analysis tools tailored to their needs. And of course, image generations has just exploded. Gemini, Wisk, ChatGPT, Midjourney. Transforming creative work.
So it's really across the board.
It's not niche anymore. These applications are rapidly becoming mainstream.
What an incredible deep dive into where AI stands right now. We've covered the blazing speed, the history, why it's different, how it works, and crucially, practical ways you can engage. The landscape is shifting so fast, and these tools are already changing how we work and learn. It's profound.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up, maybe it's important to leave you with this provocative thought.
Mm-hmm.
The race is still very much on for artificial general intelligence, AGI. We haven't gotten there yet.
Still the goal, but not reality today.
Not today's reality. While that true AGI, you know, the fully sentient human-level intelligence that's still on a horizon, the kind of surprising truth is that the tools you have in your hands right now are already transformative enough.
Yeah.
They can fundamentally reshape your work, unlock capabilities we just couldn't imagine a few years back.
So focus on what's here now.
Exactly. The question isn't just when AGI, it's maybe more importantly, how are you leveraging the astonishing intelligence available right now to innovate, to solve problems, to create?
A call to action.
Definitely. I strongly encourage you to take what we've discussed, experiment. Try the different models, the different modes of use. Keep exploring this fascinating field with, you know, a critical but also a curious mind.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We really hope this gave you a valuable shark cut to being well-informed and hopefully feeling ready to embrace the future of AI. We look forward to exploring another fascinating topic with you next time.